Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for March 12, 2023 is based on John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is, Will You Give Me a Drink?
A reading from John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman from Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from the Holy Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. I do want to prepare you today, before I get into my sermon, that for a little bit of my sermon, I will talk about death by suicide. And if that is too difficult for you to handle today, no one will judge you if you need to get up and wander around the lobby for a little while. Your mental health is more important than any social pressure to stay seated during the worship service. But first, as a callback to our reading from John, I want to share a poem with you written by the person who puts together our Lenten theme, Seeking. Her name is Reverend Sarah Speed. And the poem is called Anything and Everything. I'd give you a drink, a warm cup of tea with lemon and mint, a confetti cannon, roses from the garden, my favorite sweatshirt, a bed to lay in, homemade bread, a hand to hold. I'd give you my full attention. I'd give you my phone and say, put your number in it. I'd give you the melody line, a standing ovation, a sense of security. I'd give you anything and everything if it made you believe that you were enough. This weekend, one of my children were in a show choir competition, and during the award ceremony portion, a nonprofit was selected to present the Audience Choice Award. Now, if you've never been at these show choir competitions, the Audience Choice Award is selected by the audience members. And the way they do that is by you donating to this nonprofit in honor of your show choir, and the show choir that collects the most amount of money that evening is awarded the Audience Choice Award. The person presenting the award took a moment as they were presenting to explain their nonprofit. It was created by a mother after her daughter died by suicide while a student at that very high school. The nonprofit seeks to provide high school students all over with wristbands that let them know that they are loved, and that also contains the phone number for the suicide prevention hotline printed on it. As of February 23rd, 2023, suicide is the second leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 24 in the U.S. Nearly 20% of all high school students report serious thoughts of suicide, and 9% have made an attempt to take their life. Teenagers and young adults have had rising rates of suicide compared to 10 or 15 years ago, says Dr. Fleischer from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. He says the things that make them vulnerable are where they stand in society and where they stand developmentally. Societal pressures can weigh heavy on us. The ways of the world can tell us that we aren't good enough and that we may never be good enough. And these pressures to belong weigh especially heavy on teenagers whose prefrontal cortex, that control center in our brain, doesn't fully develop until our mid-20s. But even after we mature beyond our 20s, social pressures and social disconnection, the loss of meaningful and affirming relationships, can drive people towards their breaking point. The author of the Gospel of John understands the social pressures and social disconnection of the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and it is the background for the story of the woman at the well. There are often three social stigmas associated with why Jesus should not have been talking to this person at the well. Does anyone want to venture a guess at one or more of those three social stigmas? Yeah. She was a woman. That's one. She was living with someone she wasn't married to. What do they usually call that in the Bible often? An adulteress, right? So a woman, she may have been adulteress. And then what's the third one? She was a Samaritan. That's right. Woman, Samaritan, adulteress. I'll admit, those were the three social stigmas that I believed were in play in this story as I headed into reading and studying this passage this week. But it turns out, maybe only two of those three were really true. And the third one says a lot more about us than it does the woman at the well. I want to tackle first that she was a woman and that she was a Samaritan. Cyril Chavis explains it this way. As Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman, the disciples returned with food. Immediately, they were surprised that he was talking with a woman. Their surprise reflected the prejudice of their hearts. Jesus was, among many things, a rabbi. And according to some Jewish thinkers, it was a waste of time for a rabbi to teach a woman. What's more, the woman was a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans shared mutual indignation toward one another. The Jews saw them as half-bloods with a deficient version of the Jewish religion. You can imagine the disciples' surprise when they found Jesus talking to her. Those two seem to check out. Jesus is upending these two societal norms of talking to a woman and talking to a Samaritan, upending them in order to connect with this person, someone he sees as worthy of living water, even if society does not. But it's that third one that doesn't seem to check out. I was always kind of under the understanding growing up that the woman at the well was an adulteress. But the text actually doesn't bear that out. It seems we have maybe overlaid our society's purity culture onto this woman and made her something that she was not. Because it's easier to dismiss her than to really figure out who she might be. The arguments in the past have been made that because she came during the heat of the day and alone, that she had to have been a social outcast. And she was probably a social outcast because of the number of husbands that she had and the fact that she was living with someone who wasn't her husband. Surely those things, people thought, must put the blame on her. But not so fast. There are a number of ways that she could have been married that many times and still not have been an adulterer during those days. And also, Jesus never once refers to her as an adulterer or even mentions sin at all during this encounter. He never places judgment on her situation. But we may have. How often do we look at someone or their situation in life, and because they are different than us or they make us uncomfortable, we put a status on them that they do not deserve? How easy is it for us to categorize people in order to demean them or make ourselves feel better? For when we try to tear one another down, we are actually breaking apart the body of Christ. We are causing people to feel ostracized and shameful. And it's those very feelings that drive people to dark places where they sometimes choose death over life. But the good news is that God does not perpetuate those societal labels. In our reading today, Jesus knows what people might think when he strikes up a conversation with the woman at the well, but he proceeds anyway. In a moment of vulnerability, he begins a conversation by asking for a drink of water. He is lowering his position and stature within the situation in order to show the woman that he sees her as more valuable than others might. He goes out of his way to strike up a conversation and to get to know the woman for who she is, not who society says she is. Jesus shows us that God looks past the labels that society puts on us in order to not only show us love, but to show us our innate worth. That is the power of grace that we see on display in this passage. Jesus says, I don't care what the passerbys will think. I don't care what my disciples are gossiping about. I see you, woman at the well, as a beloved child of God, worthy of God's attention and love. You are enough just as you are. Come, receive living water. Come, be made whole. Come and be called beloved. And that message is not just for the woman at the well. It's for each and every one of you as well. Each and every one of you. No matter what the world or people try to do to tear you down or shame you or call you unworthy, God looks past that human judgment and claims you, sees you as beloved, unique, amazing, and a worthy creation that you are. God's love and grace is sufficient. They are enough. And they are freely given for each of you. Thank you, God, for a love like that. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.